Begin the current daf Maseches Yuma daf Yud Zayin. Begin on the second line down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous two blot. And that is, the Gemara had introduced a discussion, again, just because it was unique to the discussion that was being had in the Sugyas Maseches Yuma. And that is, although it had nothing to do per se with what the Masechet was talking about, however, just like in Maseches Yuma, we had that the Seder Yuma, the way the Tana, the anonymous Tana, that keeps on describing the structure of the days from the Kohen Gadol when he was separated all the way through the Avodah Yom Kippurim, which basically runs through our entire Masechta, that we said that that's different than the Tana in another Masechta. And that the Gemara had said that by default, through our logical computation, it comes that it must be Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah. Similarly, the Gemara had illustrated on the previous daf, it must be that although there's a contradiction between the Tana and Masechtas Midas and the Tana Masechtas Tamid regarding where the Lishkas Beis HaTloim was, however, the Gemara says that it's Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, and that is by default, and that's what the Gemara illustrated in the previous daf, to show that he must be the Stam Tana of Masechtas Midas, and therefore it's not a contradiction, but rather a machlek is an argument between the two Tanoim, that of Masechtas Midas, which is Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, and the Tana and Masechtas Tamid. Now that's where our Gemara continues and says that Rav Ada Barid of Yitzchak Kamar, he says that essentially this illustration of the previous daf is not necessary, because actually it's not a machlekes, and we do not have to find who is the Tana Masechtas Midas, which was what the Gemara had illustrated in the previous daf to show who it is, to say that, oh, that's one Tana, but it's not like the rest of the Rabbanah who say a different opinion that of Masechtas Tamid. Because as Rav Ada Barid of Yitzchak says, he says, truthfully, there's no contradiction. Hi Lishka, this Lishka Satloim, although we had demonstrated that it seems to be a machlokes, that one Tana in one Mishnah is saying it was in the northwest, and the Tana of the other Mishnah from the other Masechta said it was in the southwest, so he says that they really don't argue. But rather, this chamber where the lambs were kept, which is what they, when they went to get for the carpet Tamid, they went to get it in the morning from that chamber, Aktsuya Mikatsya. And that is because It was in the corners of the side that it was on. In other words, this chamber was very long, and it was on the western side of the Azara. However, since it went so far to the north and to the south, it looked like it reached to either side, to either corner. Now, and therefore, someone, if it was coming from the northern part of the Azara, it looked to him as if it was leaning, as if it was pulled more towards the southern part of the Azara. With the Asimidar and Mishchaz Libitzav, and the someone that was coming from the southern part looked like it was in the northern part. And therefore, essentially, what he's answering is that although, yes, one Tana says it was in the southwest, and the other one says it was in the northwest, they're not really arguing. Because depending on which is your vantage point, you'll say it's in the south or the north. Everyone agrees it was in the west. Question is, where was it? And that we're saying that really it was both, in a sense, because it went so far, it wasn't just one corner, it went to either, almost to either extremes. And that's why, essentially, they both agree where it was. They're just giving different illustrations of where it was, depending on what they were trying to illustrate. Now, however, the Gemara says, Mistabra, but it would make sense, the Mamaravis Durei Mishabi, that the core of it, the majority of it was in the southwest and not in the northwest. And that is, really, the Tana in Masechtas Tamid agrees that it was in the southwest. Now, although he says, and that's how we had started the discussion, that the Tana Masechtas Tamid, when he was saying to go get the Karban Tamid in the morning, he said to go to the northwest, which is where the Lishkas Tlaim was. He was just coming to illustrate someone that's coming from the south, which is where they were, going to the north. So then it looks like as he's coming, as if it's in the north. However, really, and this is how he's answering the whole contradiction, and therefore we don't have to say that it's a contradiction, because it's not, because everyone agrees that it was both southwest and northwest. But the bulk of it was in the southwest. It just looked like from the one coming from the south that it was in the north. And that's why the Mamuna, when it was telling him, go to the Lishka Satloim. Now, where was it? It was in the northwest. It really was in the northwest. It looked to the person going that, oh, this looks like it's in that corner, because it extended basically almost to the extremes of both ends. Now, another Gemara asked me, Mai. So we answered the question. We said that it's not a contradiction. We don't have to go through the challenge of finding who's the anonymous Tana, as we had done in the previous stuff. Because there's no machlokes, it rather is just a difference of vantage points. But however, we did say that it must be, however, that everyone would agree that although there is one Tana, that of Masechtas Tamid, so it was in the north, it really was, the bulk of it was in the southwest. Again, it just looked like it was in the north coming from there. So that the Gemara asks, Mimai, how do we know that the majority of it was in the southwest? That's real, the core of that chamber was. So now the Gemara answers, because midraminon lechem aponim alechem aponim. But the fact that it was posed a contradiction, not just on Lishkas Hatloim that we had been discussing up until now in the previous two dafim regarding where was the chamber of the lambs, but there was also a contradiction regarding where was the chamber for the lechem aponim, for the showbreads, where it was made. And that is because what the Gemara had assumed in the question was that the Tana of Masechtas Tamid was counting the way normally we count in the sense of when we're going in different directions, that we go to the right first, which means to say that we go counterclockwise. And therefore, the first chamber that he mentioned was in the north, in the northeast, in the northwest, and therefore what you would go first would be from north to the west, and west to the south, and south to the east. And therefore, the way it would come out would be based on what the Tanna Masechtas Tamid, he doesn't say where each chamber was. But the first one that he mentioned, he did say where it was, which was the Lishkas HaTloim, which was the chamber of the lambs, which is, he said, was in the northwest. Now, what the Gemara is going to illustrate now, as we had answered in the question, that although really it was neither north nor south, because it was really both, and that's why we could have called it either one, but really even that Tana agrees that really essentially it was in the southwest. However, but for now, just for for explanation purposes, it called it the northwest. Then if you continue going counterclockwise, which is how normally that we calculate, then you go to the Lishkas HaChesamis, where the receipts were, which was in the southwest. Then you go to Lishkas Beis HaMoikid, again, continuing the circle around right towards left. You come to Lishkas Beis HaMoikid, which is the next thing that was mentioned in the, by the Tanna Masechtas Tamid, which is in the southeast. And then you come to the Lishkas Lechem Aponim, which was the last thing mentioned by the Tanna Masechtas Tamid, which is in the Mizrachis Tzafainis, which is in the northeast. Now, on that, we had posed a contradiction, because the Tanna Masechtas Midas tells us clearly that the Lishkas Lechem Aponim was in the southeast, not in the northeast. So that was a different contradiction. So besides the contradiction we had been dealing with the Lishkas Hatloim, there's another contradiction, that of the, where the, what was the chamber of the Lechem Aponim. Umeshaninan, and we answered as follows. And from this answer, we'll demonstrate that it must be that even the Tanna Masechtas Tamid, who says it was in the northeast, holds the, in the northwest, holds the majority of the Lishkas Hatloim, was really in the south, as is said by the Tanna Masechtas Midas. Because we answered as follows. Amar Rav Huna Barid of Yeshua, Mar, the Tanna of Masechtas Midas holds Kachoshev Derech Yamin, that although he says that it was in the southeast, he was describing how normally it is and how he explicitly says in Masechtas Midas, we're going through the right, which is counterclockwise, and therefore he was going from south to east and east to north and from north to west and from west to south. And that's because if someone's coming to go around the area of the Beis HaMikdash, he'd be going to the right from the outside. And that would be his order, how he would be going. However, Umar, but the Tanna Masechtas Tamid, who doesn't say exactly his calculations of where the different chambers were, by him you could say, Kachashav Derech Smol. He was counting coming from the left, which is if someone's coming around from the left side, which means he's going clockwise. And based on that, there's no more question regarding where was the location of Lechem Aponim, as the Gemara in Amud Beis illustrates. And that is, Iyamrit Bishleima, and this will go well what the Gemara is trying to prove, based on what we were explaining before, that everyone would agree the Lishkas HaTloim, even the Tanna Masechtas Tamid, again, who says it's in the north of the west, really holds the majority really was on the south. Again, it just looks like it's in the north if you're coming from the south. So if you say that the Tanna Masechtas Tamid himself, who says that the Lishkas HaTloim, although he says it was in the northwest, in truth, he really agrees that the bulk of it was b'maravis d'roimis havia. It really, when you're counting the corners, it really was in the southwestern corner, more than the north, again, as we had said before. Rather, it just looks like when the one who was teaching that Mishnah, Masechtas Tamid, if you're coming from the south, which is where they were in the morning when the Mamuna said, let's get the carbon, and so we can bring the carbon Tamid, it looks like that it's from the north. However, the truth is really the bulk of it was, and if you had to identify which corner it was in the southwestern corner. So therefore, that's where you would begin counting when the Tanna Masechtas Tamid continues delineating all the other three lishkois, the chambers that were in the other corners. You would be starting from the southwest, although he said it's in the northwest, but it really was in the southwest. So, hainu, dimitaritz, lechem aponim, lechem aponim. Now, based on that, according to our cheshbon that we want to have with where the Lishkas HaTloim was, would make sense the resolution for the contradiction of the Tanna Masechtas Tamid and Midas, where was the chamber of the Lechem Aponim, which would to have it in the southeast, as it said in the Masechtas Midas, that it wouldn't be a contradiction anymore. Why? Because as we're saying, Really, even the Tana Masechta, this Talmud agrees that the chamber for the lambs was in the southwest. Now, if you continue going clockwise, not counterclockwise, and therefore what comes next would be the Lishkas HaChisamos, which would be in the northwest, because again, although we said that's really where the Lishkas HaTlaim was, it really wasn't there, it really was in the southwest. Now, continue going, you come to the Lishkas Beis HaMoked, that's in the northeast. Then you continue going, you come to Lishkas Lechem Aponim, and that's going to be in the southeast, exactly how it's said in Masechtas Midas. But if you say that no, that the Tana Masechtas Tamar was precise when he said that the Lishkas Atloyim, which corner it was, that it was Tzafonis Maravas Havia, it was as he says, in the northwest, then Saif Saif, my Terutz Lechem Aponim, then how do we understand the resolution of the contradiction between the Tana Masechtas Tamar and Masechtas Midas regarding the Lechem Aponim? Because even though he answered, oh, don't calculate the way we normally do, which is counterclockwise, going from right to left, but rather clockwise from left to right, even if you count from left to right, the Lishkas Lechem Aponim, if your starting point is in the northwest, not the southwest as we're trying to propose, you end up having that the Lishkas Lechem Aponim, which is the last one counted, comes out in the southwest, according to the calculation, not in the southeast. Rather from there, you could infer that we was a Lishkas HaTloyim, but my Rav is Jeremus Havir. Essentially, really, it was in the southwest, according to everybody, even according to the Tana Masechtas Tamid, Shema Minoah, and that is what we had said, that Mistabra, even though we're answering by saying that it was on the western side, both on the north and the south, depending on your vantage point. However, everyone in the Tana Masechtas Tamid agrees that essentially, really, it was in the southwest, and that would make sense because of the other contradiction of the Lechem Aponim to have it come out on the southeast. Now the Gemara asks on this cheshbon that we just said, which was to resolve the contradiction of the Lechem Aponim, we said, oh, the Tana Masechtas Tamid is not doing it as we normally do, which is counterclockwise. We're doing it clockwise, which is from left to right. And that the Gemara asks, how can you say that's what the Tana Masechtas Tamid was going like? But V'amamar, it's taught later on, Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, called Pinay Shata Pina, every turn that you turn, La Yu El Derech Yamin LaMizrach, should only be to the right side towards the east, which is counterclockwise. If you're coming and you're facing, you go to the right, and then you come around that way, you're going counterclockwise. So how can we say that, oh, the Tana Masechtas Tamid, it doesn't contradict the Tana Masechtas Midas, because he's going clockwise. And although we normally go counterclockwise, he's going clockwise, but how could you? We always calculate going from the right, not from the left. So that the Gemara says, when we meant that you always go to the right, counterclockwise, we meant when you're doing the avodah, the service, when you're going places and doing the work in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to go to the right. But here, Masechtas Tamid Chushbana Ba'amahu, that was just calculations. The Tana was just identifying the geographical areas of them that he can identify, clockwise or counterclockwise. The going to the right, going counterclockwise, was in practice how it's done, and therefore that's not a difficulty that he was able to define and describe it in the clockwise and not counterclockwise fashion. Now the Gemara resumes the discussion of Amishnah, which spoke about the avoid of the Kohen Gadol the 7 days before, that we said he does the avoid so that he should be proficient, efficient, ready to do the avoid on Yom Kippur. Then it said regarding the rest of the year, Kohen Gadol makrev chelik bereish, Kohen Gadol, he can go ahead and bring whichever carbon he wants first, and he could go ahead and take, when it's apportioned, the meat from the carbon, he could take the first portion also. That's something he could do the entire year. Now, the Gemara brings a brisa to elucidate this part of the Mishnah. Turn around, learn the brisa. Ketzin makrev chelik bereish. What does this mean, that he gets to bring the carbon first? So, Omer, he says, I want to bring this carbon oilam, mincha zuani makrev, I want to bring this flower offering. That's what it means, that he can go ahead and sacrifice first. He could choose which carbon he wants to bring. Ketzin neitel chelik bereish. What does it mean in the Mishnah that he gets to choose his portion first? So Omer, chatas zu ani oichel, he says, I want to eat from this carbon chatas. Asham zu ani oichel, I want to eat from this carbon asham. V'neitel chala mishtei chalas. He could take one out of the two chalas that are brought in Shavuos. And there's the shtei halechem that's brought in Shavuos. There's two breads. He can choose one out of two breads. And arba eichamish, he could take four or five of the breads that brought every Shabbos, mi ma'isa lechem aponim, from the showbreads that are there. There are 12 showbreads, two piles of six on the shulchan. He can take four or five of them. And the Gemara later on will explain, when is it four, when is it five? What does it mean, four or five? He'll just take five. On that, the Gemara will explain what that is. However, Rebbe says, lo'ilim chamesh. No, he always takes five, not four or five. He always takes five out of the lechem aponim. Remember, like it says in the pasuk in Meyikra, which talks about the lechem aponim, it says v'hoitz la'aron ulevanav, that the showbreads will be for Aaron and his sons. So it equates Aaron, who is the Kohen Gadol, with his sons, which is mechz la'aron and mechz lebanav, half go to Aaron, half go to his sons. Now, although there were 12 breads, however, as the Gemara will later explain, two of the breads were not split up amongst the Kohanim. Rather, two were given specifically, they were earmarked for somewhere specific, so therefore there were only 10 that were split up. Therefore, if there were 10 that split up, 5 for the Kohanim and 5 for the Kohen Gadol, and that's why Rebbe says you always get 5. Now, the Gemara first asks internally to understand the Mishnah. Hagufa Kasha, regarding the latter part of the Braisa, regarding the breads, seems to be an internal contradiction in understanding the format of this Braisa, because Amr, at first the Braisa said, that he could take one out of the two from the shtei halechem. That is, on Shavuos, two breads abroad. He could take one out of the two. Now, Mani, who is that obviously like? Rebbe, he eats like Rebbe. He says you always take half. Because the first opinion mentioned was four or five of the lechem upon him, which would be, which is definitely at least the four is less than half. However, Rebbe said, no, you always take half. Five, as we said, because although there's really 12, but it's only 10, because two are earmarked somewhere else. So half of that is five. Now, so let's see the next case, the middle case of the latter part of the braisa. It says, arba echamish mimaisa lechem upon him. It says, when it comes regarding the showbreads, not the shtei lechem of Shavuos, but every single Shabbos, then you take either four or five. Now, who is that like? Asan Rabbanan. That's like the Rabbanan, the Amri Loi Shakalpaga, that they say you don't take half. And that is because, were it to be like Rebbe that you take half, then you would never take less than five because you always get half. So if it's saying it's four or five, it must be like the Rabban Hu'agan Rebbe, and that you don't get half necessarily. However, Eimer Seifa, look at the end of that, of the Braisa. Rebbe Eimer, Lo'olam Chamesh, Rebbe says you always get five. So, difficult. Reisha V'Seifa Rebbe comes out that the first case was Rebbe, because getting one out of two of the Shtei HaLechem is Rebbe, you get half. And then you go on, and the end is also Rebbe, because he says you always get five, even Lechem Upon. And then smack in the middle, you bring the opinion of the Rabbanan, that's four or five. So I'm Abaye says, no. Reisha umitzias Rabban. Truthfully, because it's difficult to say that we have one opinion, the conflicting opinion, and then going back to the previous opinion. So Abaye says, no, the first two cases are like the Rabbanan, that they say that you don't take half, you rather you take less than half. Now, the difficulty was, if the first case is also the Rabbanan, who they say in the middle case that you don't get half, you get less than that, so, but by the Shtei HaLechem, we said you take an entire bread, that's half, not less than half. And that Abaye says, Umayid Rabbanan Beprusa. Rabbanan agree when it comes to breaking a piece. The Lavarach Ara Lemisav LeKohen Gadol, it's not proper to give a Kohen Gadol a broken piece. And therefore, we don't give him, in other words, if let's say he has to take less than half and there's only two breads, to take less than that would have to break off a piece of that bread. It's not proper. Therefore, even they agree in that case of the Shtei HaLechem that he gets one of the breads. But essentially, whenever it's possible to be less than half, then they say it's less than half, like it is by the Lechem Aponim, where they say you get four or five, and that you don't get always five to have half. Now the Gemara continues on the top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Then the Gemara asks, okay, fine, so the first two cases are Rabbanan, and then there's Rebbe. But how do we understand the opinion itself of the middle case, which is the Rabbanan? Umay Arba Yechamish. What does it mean that he gets the Kohen Gadol either four or five? When does he get four? When does he get five? So that thing explains, it actually depends on the machlokes. And the four or five are their differing opinions about what was split up. And then we'll understand why the Kohen Gadol is getting four or five, because he has to have a little bit less than half, according to the opinion of the Rabban, who Abaye is saying the first two cases are going like. That is, Lirabbanon, according to the Rabbanon, that they argue under Behuda in Perek Hachlil Masechta Sukkah and Daphne Vova Meralv, the army that they say, Nichnas, that's the incoming Mishmar, that is on Shabbos day, they would switch the Mishmaris. There would be a Mishmar that would be for an entire week. There was 24 cycles of Mishmaris. And then every day would be a separate base of a family of that Mishmar. But on Shabbos was when they would switch over the Mishmaris for the coming week. So on that, the Rabbanon say that the incoming Mishmar, the new watch for the coming week, Neitel Sheish, they take six of the 12 breads. The Yotzi Neitel Sheish, and the outgoing group of Kahanim, they also take six. This, and that is meaning from all the 12, they're splitting it evenly, six and six. And that is because they don't hold that the incoming Mishmer gets paid for closing the doors at the end of the day, as Rabbi Yehuda does say. And therefore it comes out that all the 12 breads are split amongst the Kahanim. Therefore it comes out that the Kohen Gadol who's splitting with them, therefore, Mishteim Esri Boy Miflik. That means he should split with them from 12. And therefore, according to the opinion of Rabbanan, who they say that you can't take a complete half, therefore, you have to take one less than half, so chamesh shakel. So that's why it comes out that that's when you're going to take five, going according to the opinion of Rabbanan, who all 12 are split evenly from the Mishmah HaNichnas and the Mishmah HaYetzeh, because the Mishmah HaNichnas does not get anything special because they work to close the doors on Matzah Shabbos. So therefore, six and six is what would be left over for the Kohen Gadol to take half and let the two Mishmaris split and have those six. And that we say that he has to take one less than half, so he takes five. However, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amman Nechnes Noitel Sheva, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that he says that the incoming group of the Mishmar, they take seven. Why do they take seven? Because Shtayim, you have two of the Lechem Aponim that are not divided amongst the Kahanim. Because B'schar HaGovash Talosis, the incoming Mishmar gets paid for their closing of the doors. And that's because Matzah Shabbos, the doors of the Azara and the Chel and the Heichal and the different chambers, which were opened in the morning by the Mishmar that is leaving, they are making up for the work that they were supposed to do. Therefore, they get paid for their work, nothing to do because they're doing the Avodah that they get to shear the Lechem upon them, to get paid from the Mishmar Yaitzeh. So therefore, they get paid too. Now, comes out that you're left with 10, because that's not part of what they're dividing. So the Yaitzeh Netel Chamesh, it comes out that the leaving group takes 5, because now you have 10 divided by 2, the Mishmar Nichnas gets 5, and the Mishmar Yaitzeh gets 5, and therefore the Mishmar that is coming in has 7, and they get 5. Now, therefore, Mi Esther Bay Miflik, it comes out that the Kohen Gadol is really only the splitting with the Kahanim from 10, because again, those two are not part of the Chiluk, because that's just pay that they get. But now you have to go one less than half, which, as we're saying, according to the opinion of the abundance, you're taking one less than half from 10, the Shakal Arba, and therefore you take 4. So therefore, that's how Abaya explains the case of 4 or 5, as we're going according to Rabbanan, the first two cases, and the last case is Rebbe. When's a 4, when's a 5, depending if we're splitting 12, which would make it 6 and 6, and one less than half would make it 5, or we're splitting up only 10, because like Rebbe Huda says, that you have two that get paid for the Mishmar HaNichnas because they're doing extra work that's really from the outgoing group of the Kahanim. They're only splitting up 10, 5 and 5. Kohen Gadol has to take one less than half, so therefore he takes 4. However, Rava Amar Rava argues in the Abaye. He doesn't say that the first two cases are Rabbanan and then the last case is Rebbe, because it wouldn't make sense to say Reisha B'Sefer Rebbe in the middle of Rabbanan. Rather, he says, Kula Rebbe, the whole entire Brisa was Rebbe that says that you always get half. V'Savu like Rebbe Yehuda, and he holds like Rebbe Yehuda, that two of them, of the Lechem Aponim, are not split up, that the Kohen Gadol doesn't come into that Cheshbon, because that's a pay for the Mishmar HaNichnas. Now, then the question is, Ve'ilamai Arba, so then what does it mean when it said that for the Kohen Gadol from the Lechem Aponim, he gets either 4 or 5, HaChamesh Bo'ilu Mishkal, but he should always take 5. As we said, because you're getting half of 10, half of 10 is 5, and Rebbe says you always get half. So why are we saying 4 or 5? Not the Gemara answers, according to Rava, Loi Kasha. Because ha the ikur mishmar hamisakev. When did we say the Kohen Gadol gets 4? When there was an extra group of kahanim from a different mishmar that has a layover that they're staying over there for Shabbos. Ha this that we said that he gets 5 is the leka mishmar hamisakev, that there was no other group of mishmaris of kahanim that have a layover that are staying over for Shabbos, even though it's not the mishmar. As Rashi explains, that sometimes you could have yomtiv that it will start on Monday on the second day of the week. And you have a mishmer that comes early and they come from before Shabbos and they stay over up until when Yom Tov will be starting on Sunday night, on Monday. And that's because all the mishmeres come for a Yom Tov. Or sometimes you could have the Matzah Yom Tov ends on Erev Shabbos, on Thursday night. Now the mishmeres then go home to where they are on Erev Shabbos. However, you can have a group that will stay over until Matzah Shabbos and then go home. Now, to clarify this more, Rashi says that there's a Mishnah Masechet Sukkah Daf Nun Hamed Beis that tells us that when Shabbos falls out during a Yom Tov, all the Mishmaris who are there, as we said, they all come on Yom Tov, they evenly split the Lechem Aponim amongst everybody. So too, a Yom Tov that's not even on Shabbos, and the Shabbos doesn't fall out on Yom Tov, but rather it's attached to Yom Tov, and that is whether Yom Tov is right before Shabbos, which is then they can't go home after Yom Tov because the Yom Tov ends on Friday night, or whether it's afterwards, which is Yom Tov starts on Matzah Shabbos, where they by default have to be there from before Shabbos, then all the Mishmaris, they evenly split the Lechem upon them on that Shabbos, because since everyone has to be there, so it's essentially like a Shabbos that falls on Yom Tov, that they all split it evenly. However, in the case that we're demonstrating now, when you have, there's a day in between either the end or the beginning of Yom Tov. For example, if let's say Yom Tov ended on a Thursday, or if let's say afterwards when Yom Tov starts on a Monday, on a Sunday night, so then they didn't have to come before Shabbos. Then the halacha is, but if they did decide to come extra early or to stay a little bit later, then they're not the same as the mishmer that's supposed to be there that week. However, the mishmer that does decide to stay there for Shabbos, whether it's one mishmer or whether it's many mishmeres who are anyway there, so let's spend them a few more days in Yerushalayim and let's stay in the Beis Hamikdash. So they take 2 out of the 12 lechem apanims, and those are split amongst whatever many mishmeres that are not supposed, don't have to be there. They split that. And the rest is split for the Mishma HaYoytze and the Mishma HaNichnas, who they split the Lechem upon him, because they're supposed to be there on that Shabbos. And therefore, the Cheshbon comes out as follows. Iker Mishma Mas'akev, if there is a group of Kahanim that stayed over either extra early or extra late, so then you take away 2. So therefore, you always start off with 10, because we're saying it's Rebbe, the Braisa, who's going like Rebbe Yehuda, who says that you always start over 10 because 2 are given automatically to the Mishma Nichnas, that's their pay. So you're left with 2. Now you take over another 2 for that group or groups that are there that don't have to be there. So you get 10 minus 2. So you're left with 8. Mishmoina Boile Mifle comes out that what we're splitting for the Kohen Gadol is only from 8. So B'Shakal Arba. That's when, although yes, you always get half exactly, but it's only half of 8 now. So then the Kohen Gadol is getting 4. If there is no other groups that are staying over, have a layover that they're staying here for the Shabbos because it's enough time they had to go home, so then we're not giving any other away to any Mishmairis. It's only the Mishma that's coming now and the Mishma that's leaving. So we have 10, as we said, because 2 is automatically given away to Mishma and Nichnas. And therefore, Veshakal Chamesh, that's when we said that the Kohen Gadol takes 5, and therefore we could even resolve, if you're saying the entire Brayis is like Rabbi, that it's Arbay Chamesh, yes, he's going to get half, but depending on what half is, if it's half of 8, or if it's half of 10. But the Gemara concludes with a question. Ihachi, if it's really true that the middle case of 4 or 5 for the Kohen Gadol of the Lechem Apanims is Rabbi, so my, what does the Brayis end by saying Rabbi Oimer? Rabbi says, Lo'ilam Chamesh, it's always 5. How can you say it's always 5 if it's not always 5? Yeah, it might be generally 5, but not always, because there is a case of 4, as you just said before, when it's a Yom Tov that's right before or right after. And so how can you end up by saying it's always 5? So the Gemara concludes, Kasha. It's a difficulty. And what that means is when the Gemara concludes with Kasha, not Tiyufta, means to say that, although it's difficult, it's not a refutation. Because as we said before, he might be saying Lo'ilam to say, because that's the general rule of thumb. There is that small type of exception that doesn't usually happen, that you could have the layover of the other mishmaris. That's when was the previous case where you said it's either 4 or 5. But lo'olam, generally the halacha is, since we're saying the entire brayse like Rebbe, is that it's 5 because you get half, and what's half? Half of 10, because we're going like Rebbe Yehuda, who holds that 2 is automatically given to the Mishma HaNichnas.